Let's open our Bibles as we do when we start our lessons with John chapter 3 and verse 14 this evening. Verse 14 through 18, I invite you to read along. John chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the last few lessons, we've been highlighting chapter 15 of the book of John. And before you turn there, I'm just going to read, and why don't we just go here first. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Going to get into... I'm going to expand on our lesson from Sunday and last Wednesday. Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I like, there's a few translations that I like. One is God's Word translation. It says, Christ paid the price. Who paid the price? Christ did. He paid the price to free us from the curse that God's laws bring by becoming cursed instead of us. Christ became cursed for us and in our place. So one can go over and look at Deuteronomy 28, from about verse 15 to the end of that chapter, and you can see what the curse of the law was. And we did one evening here. That's available online, or you can go in the store and order it. But that went through Deuteronomy 28 and looked at the curses, and you can begin to see what we've been freed from, that we don't have to live with or tolerate. This says here, Christ paid the price. The New Century Version says, Christ took away the curse the law put on us. He took it away. So anyone that, and then it also says, he changed places with us and put himself under that curse. So he changed places with us. So anyone that may say, well, you know, it may be God's will for you to go through something or to submit or to be subject to this curse or sickness or disease or mental problem, then you've got to ask them, then why would I have to tolerate something that's defined as a curse? Why would that be? See, and most, of course, the scripture also says that the traditions make God's word of what? None effect. So people's traditions may say, well, you know, this is such and such. And I know we've been taught to know better, but I would say get that firmly down in your heart so that when somebody shares that, you can begin to share that very clearly with someone. That no, Christ paid the price. He took away the curse for us in my stead, in my place, so that I don't have to. And one would also, let's look at it this way. I believe the scripture also says the last enemy that's to be put under is what? Death. So if you look at that, God hates death. And if you look at sickness, sickness is really the fruit of it. And so if God hates death, he hates sickness. And so should we. We should hate what he hates. We should come against what he comes against or what he paid for. And we should not embrace it or tolerate it. We should not tolerate sickness and disease in our bodies. It's interesting sometimes, and I won't say this is all, but sometimes when we walk through some things, and I believe that this core of believers here has reached a place where they know it's God's will for them to walk in health and healing. I believe that. But there are some that may want a revelation from God to know whether it's God's will for them to be healed. And the question is, God has already given his word, which is revealed, and he's already revealed his will, so we don't need a word from the Lord or a revelation, a special revelation as to God's will. We don't need that because God has already revealed in his word what his will is. So we don't need that. We need to take what his word says, and that's that. Back to the vine. And let's go back over to John 15 just for a moment before we start this evening. You know what's interesting sometimes? Our bodies, really, when you think about this, that's why you can see sometimes the devil tries to deceive. When you think about this, your body repels death. When I say repels it, it's foreign to you. We don't even like the thought of it. And neither do we like the thought of sickness, do we? We try to fight it as much as we can. When it comes, we're like fighting it. So it's designed into this body to come against sickness and disease. So why someone would want a revelation from God, and then while they're waiting, they're doing everything they can to get their body well? You understand? It doesn't make any sense. And somebody questioning whether it's God's will, but yet we might run and get an aspirin. Well, if you did that, then you'd be against the will of God. If it wasn't his will for you to be healed, then you're against his will. See, but the body itself and just our nature, the human body and the human nature, wants the body to be restored. And we try as much as we can, even in the natural, to get it better, don't we? And God has, it's built into this body. Because of sin, sickness will sometimes gets a foot in. And this body is mortal. We live in this earth long enough, and you will leave you'll die and leave. And if you're saved, you go to heaven. But in this body, we work at trying to get it better. So that's why it's to me sometimes almost funny when people go, well, I wonder if it's God's will to heal me. So then why are you going to the doctor? Why'd you even go to the doctor? See, because you want to be well. See, you do. And the world will go to the doctor, but they don't have the tools, the spiritual tools at their disposal to come against it. We do. We've got the Word of God and the name of Jesus and His promises to come against it and to command it to go and change. Thank God. So John 15, what we were sharing the last few lessons was about the life of God and the life that's in the vine and the importance of that life, that Zoe life. And one of the things we didn't, I don't know if we touched on these scriptures on Sunday, turn to John 6:63. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that word life is Zoe. So his words, and if you look up that word words, it's rhema. It's the rhema word from God. It's that which is unfolded and revealed to you. That's rhema, that's spirit and life. And John 6:33, just back up there a little bit, John 6:33 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth Zoe, life, unto the world. So the bread, what's the bread of God? It's Jesus, but it's also the Word of God. That word, this word, is life. It's life unto the world. Zoe. I'm just going to read this real quick here. You can turn there real quick. Psalm 119. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this evening. Is that all right? Psalm 119 and verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So in other words, quicken, if you look that up, anybody who studies or looks up words in the concordance, quicken can mean to live, have life, remain alive, sustain life, live prosperously, but it also means be restored to life or health. So it means to be restored to life or health. How? What does he say? According to thy word. So we can be restored. It also means to be revived, be quickened from sickness, from discouragement, from faintness, from death. So we can be quickened from the Word of God, from our situations, from sickness, from faintness, from weakness, from death. We can be quickened from the Word of God. How is that? And we just got done reading it in John 6:63. He just said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They'll quicken you, the Word of God. Now, I'm going to just look at a few things this evening concerning our bodies. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll tie these two thoughts together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at verse 15. And he says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Say, my body is the member of Christ. See, that's what the scripture says. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And verse 19, what? He continues the thought, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And what does it say? Ye are not your own. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God, where? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, do you think it gives him glory with sickness in this body? I don't think it does. And if our bodies, as it says here, our bodies are the members of Christ. So do you think if the body is sick, is that going to affect the work of God? Absolutely does. And so we need to be conscious of the fact that we've been bought with a price. Therefore, it says here, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why? Because you are not your own. You don't own this property. You don't own it. You know, some of us treat what we think we own any which way. And we kind of do what we think we want to, you know, do what feels good, what tastes good. But you're not your own. And you are to glorify God in this body. And I'll leave it at that because there's some other scriptures that we're going to touch on that I think will tie all of this together. But when it comes to this body, we need to treat it. And I think this is where I was sharing on Sunday, that the life of God, when we talk about the life of God, the life of God, if you get enough of the life of God in you, it's going to affect your love walk, it's going to affect your faith, it's going to affect the eyes of your understanding. Because as we feed upon the Word of God and we are growing in the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, do you think He will give us wisdom and revelation how to operate this body? Yes, absolutely, He will. He'll show us what to do, what not to do, how to conduct ourselves in this body. So what? So we can bring forth fruit, which gives Him glory. And I'm convinced, I really am, the more I do some reading where health and nutrition and other things are concerned, I don't get stuck in it, but I do read about it and I read up on it, what they're doing, what things are being discovered. But one of the things that's very interesting to me is that you read about, and I'll get over this into this in a minute, the number of centenarians in this country is expanding tremendously. People reaching 100. And the interesting thing that you find is that people that reach 100, you start reading up a little bit, and some they'll say, well, you know, I ate whatever way I want and so forth, and some will say I didn't eat, I ate a certain way, a very strict way. But the interesting thing that I'm finding, which is insidious with all of this, is stress. And I recently spoke with someone who was, in a nutrition area and started to talk to me about symptomatic and asymptomatic results of stress. You can eat the right things, drink all the water you want to drink, but if you're under stress, it can make a mess of your system, this body that has been fearfully and wonderfully made. And we don't realize what we're doing by living in a very stressful climate. And it's one of the things that I've been very observant of, and where the scripture is very clear, we're to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. We're not. And what I'm finding is that even where people are coming up short, where their health is concerned, sometimes it has to do with stress. And this person told me you can eat all the right foods and do everything right and have stress, have a stroke, have high blood pressure, but you're eating right, but you're under stress. You're not getting rest. And it affects us in living a long life and fulfilling what God really designed for us. And it's interesting when you start to read up on the people that are centenarians, they'll say, well, I live a simple life. I live a simple life. I've decided to not be encumbered with a lot of things. And so some of the things that we're reaching out for to get come at a cost. And sometimes that cost is very expensive. And the devil is trying to get us to not get the wisdom of God where this is concerned here, where it says, you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so, something to keep in mind. Just share that with you. We're desiring to get the wisdom of God concerning how to function, what to do, what not to do, what to get involved in, what not to get involved in, because it will affect your longevity. And God is designed. He's given, and we're going to get into that in just a moment, He's given us exactly what He has designed as far as how long we can live. But we're not living as long as we should because we're not, in some cases, not operating in the wisdom of God concerning these areas of our life. And we can. And it just is choices. It's choices we make. Now let me just get over here. Let's turn over to Psalm 91 for a moment. Psalm 91. Because God has designed for those that are His children to live a long life. Now, Now, when you look at Psalm 91, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, and He is my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." Now, we're not going to read down through everything, but if you read through the next set of verses, it explains how you come to live a long life. Now, when you get to verse 16, it says, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And if you look at, I'll read these. This is the New Century Version. It says, "I will give them a long, full life, and they will see how I can save." Young's literal translation says, "With length of days I will satisfy him, and I cause him to look on my salvation." God's Word translation says, "I will satisfy you with a long life, and I will show you how I will save you." Now, when you look at in verse 2, when it says, "In him will I trust," that word trust means to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. In him will I have confidence. In him will I be secure. In him will I be bold. See, so in God, we're going to trust and be bold. Now, if you look in chapter 90 of Psalm 90, and if you look at starting in verse 4 in Psalm 90, it says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Now, when you look at that, let's read it again. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday." So you can see here, the Lord is referring to a day as 1,000 years. He's referring to a day as 1,000 years, or 1,000 years as a day. "When, as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." And verse 5, it says, "Thou carriest them away as with the flood, they are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." And the reason I'm reading this, I want you to see the context of this. "For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Now listen, verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that is 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Have you heard people say, I have. I've said it. "You know, our years are as 70 years, and if by reason of strength it be 80 years. Everybody hear that? Anybody hear that? Well, you know, our years are 70 years, and you know, if we really get it going, we'll get to 80. It's wrong. It's not scriptural. And when you look at this, let me ask you a question. Is this, when you read this in context, is this a picture of people that are operating in obedience and operating in the blessings and favor of God? Is it? No, it's not. And you read this, and that's what it said here. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And then it goes on to share that term. Now, let's take a look. Let's go over and you can look at Numbers. Look at Numbers chapter 14. And let's take a look at starting in verse 28. So we just got done reading here, and of course, in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we read the account of God giving them direction to go in and take the land. And you saw at the end of chapter 13, it says, you know, we're as grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in theirs. And so when you look at verse 28, they really rebelled against the Lord. Verse 28, it says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." See, this is what we're showing you here that we just read in Psalms. "Doubtless you have not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey," boy, they decreed a curse over themselves, "them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness." And what? Verse 33. "And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until the carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." Now look at verse 34. "After the number of the days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year you shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation. They are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die." Let me ask a question. Let's go back and stop just a moment. Let's go back to verse 29. It said, "According to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward." How much is 40 years and 20? 60 and upward. So there you go. Now you can go back and you can look at Psalm 90, and it said, "Because of the way you've conducted yourself, the days of your years are what? 70 years and 10. You see, this is a people that disobeyed God. This is not a blessing. And this should not be something that we teach or preach as gospel. Our number of our days are not 70 and 80. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We need not buy into that. People say, well, you know, our days are 70 years. No, they're not. No, they are not. You want to see what your days are? Anybody? Anybody there? Y'all don't want to know how long you're supposed to live? Okay. Well, I'm going over to Genesis 6, if you'd like to come. Because that's where we're going. Genesis 6, And verse 3, Genesis 6 and verse 3, and you can see if you back up, and of course, in verse 3, Genesis 6 and verse 3, it says, and the Lord said, my spirit, it shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet, who's speaking here? Yes. Yet his day shall be 120 years. And he hasn't changed it. That's the number of days for man. 120. Not 70. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, this is the New Living Translation. It says, then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, they will live no more than 120 years. The New Century Version says, my spirit will not remain in human beings forever because they are flesh. They will live only 120 years. And so you can see, think about this when you back up and you look at chapter five, and you look at starting with Seth, and you look at Enos, and you look at Mahalalel, and you look at Methuselah, Jared, they're all living almost a millennium. They're living almost a millennium, which is what? In the days, in God's eyes, a day. They're living almost a day. Now, when you think about that, then what happened? In chapter 6, we read here, it says, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And God said, okay, I'm going to destroy things. And he had Noah and his family come into the ark. But he decreed before all of that, your days will be 120 years. And you can see after the flood, now you can see after that, that something changed after the flood. You see the lifespan began to drop and drop and drop, and it got lower and lower. They weren't living near a millennium. It kind of settled around 120 years. You see? And you can see that. And through time, because of man's doing, you can see here, even in the United States, early years, man's lifespan was, in some early times, was what, 35, 40 years of age. Even in Europe. But that wasn't God's doing, that was man's doing. Right? So, praise God, and what you see now is, you've seen a change in this earth. You're seeing, just go out and look, I did a quick look just before I came in and looked at when you look at the number of centenarians that are increasing just in the earth, most of them are in the United States. In 1950, you had 2,300 centenarians in the earth, in the world. I'm sorry, excuse me. You had 2,300 in the United States. 2,300 centenarians that reached 100. 1990, 40 years later, you had 37,000. 2010, you had almost 54,000 people that reached 100 centenarians. And they're projecting that it's going to increase a lot more. Not only in this United States, but all over the world. And they're showing here that as of the census, in 2010, it said it showed a big increase, 30% increase between the ages of 90 and 94, and also between 95 and 99. Big increase. And it's documented, because I've read this, but the longest living documented person was in France. She was 122 years of age. Her name was Jean-Louise Calment. She was from France. You know, and you can read about her life. It also said that right now, the number of centenarians was estimated as only a few thousand in 1950. This is worldwide. Today, there's over 340,000 centenarians worldwide. So we're just showing you that 310 in 80 years, we're showing you here, people are living to 100. Living to 100. And it's doable. Now, supercentenarians are people over 110. And as of 2011, there were 83 people in the world that were over 110. And two people have lived over 120. And I believe there's going to be more that do. Now, go to Hebrews just for a moment. Let's go here. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And let's look at verse 27. Now, some people say, well, you know, when it's your time to go. You ever hear people say that? You know, when it's your time to go, there's nothing you can do. It's your time. Wrong. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now let me ask you, did it say appointed unto men a time to die? It didn't say that. It said once to die. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Pages are sticking here. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And verse 2. It says, to everything there is a season. A what? A season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now don't get stuck on that word time. It just means season. There is a season to die. Let's go to Job. Go to Job chapter 5. Let's go to Job chapter 5. And look at verse 26. Says, thou shalt come to thy grave, what? In a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. In his season. Now the New Living Translation says, you will live to a good old age. You will not be harvested until the proper time or season. says, the New Century Version says, you will come to the grave with all your strength. I don't mean sick and diseased. It says, you will come to the grave with all your strength like bundles of grain gathered at the right time. At the right time. So don't tell anybody, well, when it's your time. No, there's a right time for a harvest. Isn't that not right? There's a right time to die when one is satisfied, when one has completed their assignments. Now, let me ask you, is 20 years old the right time? Is 30 years old the right time? Is 50 years old the right time? Is 70 years old the right time? Is 80 years old the right time? No. It's not. See, we've got this thing so ingrained here, and we've been so associated with the world and the world's ways that we think, well, hey, 80's a long time. Says who? The world says it's a long time. They'll say, well, you know, you got to 90, that's a good old age, you know, you can just go home now. Said who? Says who? When you read up on the life of Jean-Louise Calmette, she rode her bicycle actively past 100. She lived alone till she was 110. She was active and productive. We should be. Go back to... Let's go up to Ecclesiastes again. Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And look at verse 17. Says, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? So one could act wickedly and foolishly and die before their time. See? One could. And the days appointed by God are how many days? How many days has God decreed that we should have? 120 years. See, we need to change our thinking. When you get to 60, you're like, gee, I just lived half my life. I just made halfway. I got a lot to do. I got a lot to accomplish. See, some people hit 60 and they're thinking, well, let's see, it's time for Social Security. I'm heading south to retire. I'm getting ready to fire up, not retire. See, and with the Word of God, when we get the Word of God inside of us and the life of God, it will drive out and change your thinking as to how you see things. You're going to see things like God sees them, and you're going to see 120. Hey, no problem. Why? Because I'll be quickened with the life of God. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Let's end with this evening. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 13. Let's start looking at verse 13. We're talking about a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Look at verse 13 down. It says, happy is the man that findeth what? wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, what are we talking about here? Wisdom. Not being wicked or foolish, but getting wisdom. And what does it say here? Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. See, so when we get wisdom, when we get the wisdom of God and we get understanding, we're going to have length of days in what? Our right hand and our left hand, let's say lack. No, it says riches. That means something durable and honor. So we need to be seeking, and this is right back to what we were sharing before on some of the other lessons, seeking and feeding on the Word of God. Because the Word of God will change us. It will transform us. What does it say in Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's His perfect will? 120 years. And so I can prove that by how? Getting the wisdom of God, getting my mind transformed so I can see it like He can see it. So I can begin to operate the Word of God, that I can get the Word working in here, and I'll have strength in my body. See, but some of us, as we said, some of us are not treating our bodies, we're not having our minds changed to see how to operate in this earth to reach that 120. And we can get there. It's doable. That's all right. You'll get it. You'll get it. Because it takes, you know what it takes? We have been so programmed from our parents to grandparents. You know, honey, they went home at a good old age at 85. They had a good life. No, I'm serious. That's what they tell you. Or they hit 95. That was a good age. I'm not saying that it wasn't. I'm not saying that wasn't a good age. But it was shorter than what it could have been. It's shorter than what it could have been. And we can reach that age. God has decreed it. He wouldn't put something in there that we can't do. If He's spoken, that means it's doable. That means it's achievable. Because otherwise, and it says, God says, I lie not. So we can reach 120. We can reach 120. But one of the things that we're going to need, just like we've read in these scriptures, is we need the wisdom of God. And so that we can operate this body and spirit to reach there. And we can do it. So that we can be productive, we can be strong. I mean, when you think about this, what did Caleb and Joshua say? I'm just as strong now at my older age than I was when I was younger. Didn't he say that? Yeah, he said, I'm just as strong now as I was when I was younger. So if they were in their 80s, that means if they had to travel around that desert with that murmuring group for 40 years, that alone is a testimony. You have to, you know, how some of us are saying, I don't want to work with them folks. Now you say, I want to be around them folks. Well, they had no choice. They had to be around them folks for 40 years. And for them to say, let's go in and take it, I'm just as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Some folks are heading to an old age home when they're reaching that age. I'm tired, that's it. But you see, what's defeating us is this. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And we say, well, I'm just getting up in age now, you know, honey. I don't move as fast as I used to. So be it. So be it. And so we need to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I am strong in the Lord. And the power of God and the life of God from His Word and His Spirit is coursing through my body and working in me, strengthening me every day, every moment. I mean, you heard stories of Brother Hagin, where he would go out, could hardly stand up after he got off the bed of sickness. Said he looked like a string bean. And he got a job. The only thing he could do, this is back in the 30s, pulling up trees by hand. They didn't have equipment. You went out in the fields and you grabbed them and pulled them up out of the ground. And they said, this guy ain't gonna make it till noontime. Forget about it. He looks like a string bean. He'll never make it. And he began to say, no, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The strength of the Lord is working in me. And he outworked all of them. Because the strength of the Lord and the life of God began to strengthen him. So we need to, and all of us, I include myself with that, is to focus on His Word, focus on His life, stay connected to the vine, stay connected, and look to Him so that we can reach that age that God has designed, which is 120 years of age. And we can reach it. It's doable. And if Jesus tarries, I'm going to reach it. I'm going to do everything that I know to do to treat this body and spirit that gives Him pleasure and gives Him honor. And I'm going to do that. And I believe we'll reach those ages. Not just to be reaching it, but it brings glory to Him. We become productive in the kingdom of God. I think that one of the things that's exciting to me is that when you look at in the Gospels, when He talks about those that God gave talents to, who did He give more to? The people who were doing less or the people who were productive? Hello. So when we're productive, He's going to purge us and clean us and correct us and give us more. And that's what I'm excited about. Doing more, being more productive, and living longer. Because we can live a long life. Amen. Amen. Don't buy into that, you know, business of I've reached a certain age and that's it. No. No, no, no. See, now it's your choice, because there is a scripture, and I think it's important that, I believe it's over in Philippians. Let's turn over there. We'll close now. I said that once. We're getting there. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then, what does it say here? It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now look at verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. See, so he's talking about if I live in the flesh, then this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what does he say? What I choose. It doesn't say, well, your time. It doesn't say that. It says, what I choose, I what not. Does it? Paul had a choice to make here. He had a choice to choose or to stay. And that is the same with us. There is a season, and it shouldn't be until are satisfied that we've done everything that God has told us to do. And God has already designed and decreed that 120 years is the maximum. So we can reach that, but we choose when to leave. Not sickness, not disease, not infirmity. We choose. And God has given us His word, which says we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. So we can stand up and say, no, no, I refuse this sickness. I refuse this disease. I will not have it in my body. I won't tolerate it in Jesus' name. And of course, you know, we're not healed based on how we feel. We're based on what God has said. We're healed based on the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Let's say this before we leave. The word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease in my body. Every disease and every germ and every virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen goes right there. You'll possess what you confess. You'll possess what you confess. And that'll work for you, death or life. You possess sickness. If you'll confess sickness, you'll possess it. You confess healing, you'll possess it. That's the way it is. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So we'll eat the fruit of what we confess and profess. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that healing is working in us. The word of God is working in us, driving out sickness and disease, changing our physical bodies, strengthening our bodies, driving out the curse in our bodies. And Father, we thank you that even though these physical bodies are mortal, We thank you that your word says we can be quickened by your word. So we thank you that the word of God is impregnated with the life of God. And we thank you, Father, that it's in us working now, bringing about your perfect will in us, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding and directing. Thank you that you are unfolding and revealing that which is heard to the hearer. In Jesus' name.